You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
What's going on, Trade Pros? This is Mark from Trade Pro Academy.
And this is George from Trade Pro Academy.
And today we've got a really exciting episode planned for you guys. We are going to be flipping the script, literally, and changing the path that we are taking with the episode. And what we've got for you guys today is an exciting review with George. So if you guys don't know, George actually penned a book. And in today's episode, we're going to go ahead and review that book, more or less, ask him a couple of good questions, get some insight into what he was thinking about, and really get an understanding of, you know, where the book idea came from, what was his inspiration, and some of the key things that he found while writing the book. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into it.
Thanks, Marky. This is going to be a very fun episode. It's my first book ever. It's something I've been putting off for a long time, but it's the first book ever. Very excited to talk about it here with you today.
Yeah, it's extremely exciting. And, you know, I do look forward to writing my own book in some time, but really happy to have had a chance to kind of get a peek at the initial draft. And my own personal experience with it, I really, really enjoyed it. You know, not just because he's sitting here in front of me. And I really enjoyed the book. There was a lot of really, really interesting insights I found that I didn't know about George, kind of his coming up story. I knew a lot of what happened as far as trading, but there was a lot of stories in there that kind of surprised me as far as his kind of, you know, coming up story, if you will, coming up from Scarborough in Toronto and to where he is now. It's an incredible journey, to be quite honest, and I'm really happy to be a part of it. And so let's go ahead and get started now with really the first question we've got on, anytime you're writing a book, it's got to be kind of a story. So the first question for you, George, would be, what do you think makes a good story?
That's a phenomenal question. You know, and as I was writing this book, to be honest with you, is a very vulnerable process. I think one of the challenges with it was deciding what parts to include, what to leave out, how deep I wanted to expand in certain areas. And that, you know, it's never complete. I feel like when you author something, you never feel like you're done. But I think what makes a really good story is being able to get insight from somebody's journey and what the purpose is. The book is called Path to Profit, A Trader's Journey to Success. And really, to me, what made a good story is being able to travel with somebody, to pretty much experience what they have from their perspective, from the comfort of wherever you are, might be on the couch, and to be able to learn from them. And I think one of the most important parts are to be able to learn through their journey, what they've been through, and realizing at the end of the day that, you know, anyone's story could just be like your own story. I remember back in the day when I first started trading, I tried to learn a lot about people who had succeeded in the trading industry. It was really hard to get access to that content back then.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's maybe one, that the series by Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
Market Wizards. That's probably one of the only types of, books or series, kind of like documentaries almost, on the
exactly.
journey of successful traders.
And that, you know, and that whole series painted it in a certain light that they wanted to, but it didn't really go too deep into the day to day. And I think when we look at successful people and people who have things we're trying to achieve, we assume that they're made of perfection, right? Everything's like great for them. And for me, the important part about the story is to be like, hey, look, I'm no different than anyone else. I had my own unique journey, and I just wanted you guys to look at it and read the story and say, hey, look, you know, it wasn't all roses and unicorns, and everyone has their own challenges. And I wanted to inspire people with the story for them to be like, hey, I could do this too.
Yeah.
And that was the whole idea behind it for me.
Awesome. I think one of the things that I kind of took from it was that, you know, a lot of newer traders, they kind of have this illusion of what a successful trader looks like and what their journey looks like. And, you know, I wasn't around, you know, when you started hitting your initial profitability, but I've been around for a couple of years now. And I've, you know, even in that time, I've seen the journey and, you know, the growth. I've seen him take big wins. I've seen him take big losses. And, you know, the way that he handles himself throughout his whole experience is, you know, you wouldn't think that he was somebody that just picked it up and learned it. It's the way that he handles himself is someone that's been through the trenches. You know, you've had the whole journey, and really proud of you on that front.
Thanks, my brother. I really appreciate it. And I want to I think you mentioned something in a previous episode where you said, don't compare your chapter one to someone's chapter 20.
Yep.
It's even comparing my own chapter 20 to chapter one. Like back in the day, if I, you know, I've always aspired to be a successful trader and I believed in it, but I was the only one. Like there were very few people that would have pegged me to be here. And I think that's why it was important for me to share this journey, because I just really want to inspire people. I want everyone listening to this to know that I truly believe that you could accomplish anything, because like, man, like I've done it. And if I could do it, you guys can too. Trust me.
That's awesome. Young kid from Scarborough growing up. It's absolutely crazy to think about now that I know the whole story to see where you've come from. It's absolutely nuts.
And so, in the book, like towards the end, the last chapter, one of my favorite chapters to write, and I know you're probably going to ask me some of these questions, we're skipping ahead, but one of my favorite chapters to write was the one where I asked myself, if I could go back in time to the kid that started in this industry, what would I tell him knowing what I do now? That was my favorite chapter to write, because it was like, I looked at it, I was like, wow, what an amazing amount of growth. And I think if anyone listening to this stops and thinks about that for themselves, they're going to realize everyone's had their own journey. Like yeah. You've had your own journey. Everyone listening, I've got to see your journey as well. And when you're ready to write a book, I have an ISBN number for you. I got 10.
I love it. You can be the preface or the acknowledgements.
Oh, baby. Can't wait.
Awesome. So that kind of leads us into the next question. You kind of answered, you know, a portion of it, but what would you say was your real inspiration behind writing the book?
The inspiration for me is, to share the journey, to show people that, you know, that you can make it. Your journey is going to look different. I think that's the whole point of this is to know that a journey differs for everyone, and that's okay. I don't think there's really an end goal that anyone should focus on for themselves. I think that any end goal that you have of yourself is probably a limitation to what you could really achieve. I think if you really focus on the journey and have fun through it and continue to push and persevere, and as you guys will see, I've gone through a lot of twists and turns, but I've always had faith and belief that this is going to work out. And as long as you hold on to that belief, it's going to take you, life's going to take you through some really fun corners and twists and turns. Not always fun, but at the end of it, you know, that journey is what taught you who to be and what you are. So I think that was the inspiration, is to be able to share my story and to give back and to allow other people to realize their journey.
Yeah. I mean, you guys can't see it, but when George is answering these questions, he's smiling as he's talking.
Yeah.
And you guys can't see it, but I hope you guys can feel the passion, you know, that's coming through here, because this is something this guy's really passionate about. That kind of leads me on to another point. I do remember through the book, you had mentioned, you know, as far as the journey and the mindset required, that, you know, no single person's journey is going to be the same, and no journey to success is going to be a straight line. And
right.
I think that's very well written in the book. And one of the parts that I liked, especially where you mentioned that you had never really considered failure until somebody else asked you about it.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really interesting. Can you go into a little bit more detail on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember at the time I was always a dreamer. Like from day one, I've always had big dreams and aspirations. And, you know, people in school would call me daydreamer and all that stuff. But in the deep down belief of what I wanted, like trading was it. Trading and another thing were kind of the conflicts. But as I went through and traded at the time and spent a lot of time and energy developing myself, I remember it came to a point like I had to go to college or not go to college and explain it to my parents, myself, family, friends. You know, it's a lot of pressure. In today's environment, I think if you don't go to college, it's a little more acceptable. I still think you should go to college. But at that moment, when I was making the decision, should I go to school or pursue trading full time? You guys will read in the book, but somebody asked me, like, you know, what if this fails? Like, it's great that you want to do this, but what if you go and you just fall flat on your ass and you just fail at doing it? And I literally just stopped there. I was like, well, crap. I actually had never thought about that. So to be honest with you, if the person didn't ask me that question, I may have made the wrong decision at the time. Who knows? But that was the first time I'd ever considered failure as an option. As somebody planted that seed in my head, and I was like, well, hang on a second. Am I missing something here? But up until that point, through the twists and turns, never had I considered that would be an outcome.
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting, and you know, kind of speaks. I know George personally, so it kind of speaks to his character. But that was really something that I found of interest in the book in itself. All right, so you've answered a little bit on the inspiration on the book. Let me take this back. Maybe I should have asked this first, but When did you first kind of realize that you wanted to write a book? Was it, you know, hitting a certain level of success or, you know, having a certain amount of experience? What kind of brought about the idea that, you know, it's time to kind of put the pen to paper and make a book?
Oh man, this is a difficult one to pinpoint an answer, but I'll give you the rationale behind what led me to write the book. So I've always been humble in life. Like I think that's probably not really a humble statement to make, but I believe that I've always been humble. I've always wanted to share with others. And when I succeed, I give credit where it's due, because everybody that I know is part of this journey. They're responsible for it. But you know, when I really decided to write the book is first of all, I had a joy for writing. I always liked writing stuff. I wrote music. I used to write blog posts before Trade Pro Academy was a educational business. It was a blog post. It was called gettingmarketmoney.com. Funny enough, that's a funny name, but and we wrote a lot of stuff on there. So I always enjoyed writing, and I always felt that when I told my story, I had to reach a certain level of success that would make it worthwhile. And to be honest with you, I don't think I'm there yet. It's always like you're always battling doubt versus am I ready? And I figured, you know what? It's never too early to tell your story. Yeah. I think that it's always going to inspire some people. And to say I'm going to write this book only when I hit a certain level of success assumes that you're going to hit that level of success and stop. And so I told myself, you know, people need to hear this story. They need to hear the journey. And as I hit some more profitability and the business started to do well, I looked around and I saw people who were me before back in the day. And I was like, you know, these people need to have the hope. And it's, you know, when we did that workshop, yeah. You remember when we did that financial literacy workshop, we had a whole bunch of youth at like an at-risk impoverished neighborhood. And we taught them about credit, finance, investing, budgeting. You did a great workshop with them, by the way.
Hey, thanks, man.
It was then and there that, you know, I don't know if you guys realized that, but it was then and there, I could tell you now, they decided, I'm like, you know, I got to give the story. Because kids like that need to hear it.
That's awesome, Georgie. I actually didn't know that, but it kind of makes sense now in retrospect, because I know when he started writing the book, it was around the time that we were doing those. So that's really awesome to hear. And let me flip it back to this. You mentioned the title of the book, Path to Profit, Trader's Journey to Success. What's the significance behind the title?
Oh, that's great. So Path to Profit was really, it explains the end destination. Like, where does the path lead to? Profit. I think that in a good book title, you want to tell people what they're going to get out of it. You know, but the path to profit is more to let you know that, look, I did it. I got to the point of my goal, and I wanted to reach to people who are trying to achieve the same thing. There is a conclusion. This path leads to an end goal that I realized, but the journey is what's important. So really the idea behind the title is, yes, this is, you're going to read from somebody who's achieved the ultimate destination of being profitable as a trader, but you're also going to learn the journey. And that was the title idea. It's twofold. One is the destination's hit, and also more importantly, it's how we got there that you're going to learn.
Awesome. So that kind of brings into the next question. You know, I'm sure the title that you chose isn't the original one or the first idea that you had.
No.
And I'm sure there was, you know, a bunch of other challenges you might have had, you know, while putting this book together. Can you name, you know, maybe one or two of the challenges you were kind of surprised with while writing the book that you kind of ran into?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to know one of the titles that didn't make the cut?
I'd love to. I think the listeners would like as well.
Yeah. Do you remember, have you seen it before or no? The previous one?
I don't think no. So.
It was going to be called The First Million. That was going to be the name of it. The First Million, A Trader's Journey to Success. I told you I was humble. And I feel like that, you know, I think that assumes that you need to make $1 million to be successful. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's true. I think that everyone's journey to success looks different. And I don't really think success is monetary. And so, you know, that was the first title and I scratched it. It's funny, I designed the book cover myself and it looked great. The only reason for keeping the name was because the book cover looked awesome.
Awesome. Well, that's as honest as you can get, right?
Yeah. But some of the other challenges, like you mentioned, you know, deciding where to spend the most of my time on the story, deciding like what parts to expand, because, you know, it's a very like tender balance. You want to tell enough that people understand you, but you also want to tell it little enough or less information so people can kind of connect the dots and start thinking about their own sort of thing.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And that was one of my challenges, deciding how much of myself to expose, number one. And secondly, how to make it so you guys have a benefit for it. So in a way, it's not a complete autobiography where I just yap about myself. I always brought it back to how could you guys benefit from this? That was one of my challenges. You know, one of the other challenges that I think very few people will tell you, but I really think every author experiences this, is like the vulnerability aspect. Like you're writing about yourself and you're putting this out there and there's really like a lot of voices that go in your head that are telling you like, do more of this, none of this. What would these people think? And the challenge was silencing that enough to be like, listen, you shut up and you go back in the back of the brain. Let me tell the story. You've had your moment kind of thing. And silencing those voices and just focusing on the important thing. It was a big challenge because as you tell the story, you always think about, well, what would other people think about this? Oh, am I hurting other people's feelings? Am I not? I'm always truthful. You know, should I edit some of these names? Should I create different personalities? But I went raw. Everything you hear there is raw. And I decided to turn those voices off. That was one of the big challenges. And, you know, at the end of the day, the challenge was, how do I get you progress through reading this book? I wanted it to be a story, but more importantly, I wanted you, after you read the book, to have a template to create your own story.
Yeah. And I think you passed that across very well. And one of the things that I really do enjoy about this book, more so than some of the other ones I read on not kind of similar topics, because you can't really, topic can't, you know, of your life can't be a similar topic to somebody else's. But, you know, in looking at books like Market Wizards, et cetera, you'll hear about their stories, but they don't really give you anything actionable.
Right.
You know what I mean? And one of the things I really liked about this book was that you gave them your story, but at each part of the story, you gave them something to work on to kind of help develop them for, you know, for one part of your life. Once you reached, you know, one part of success, or you reached one kind of, you had some sort of vision, or you hit one part of your chapter, you closed that chapter, and then you kind of offered people an opportunity to work on themselves throughout the same way that you worked on yourself within that chapter, which I thought was really, really cool.
You know what's awesome about that? I actually spent more time on the chapter end questions and process than I did writing. I found that when I got into the flow, the story came out on its own. This might sound creepy to you people, but you know, the book was written sort of by a higher power. It, you know, I don't know how that's going to come across, but when I started to type, the story part came out very quickly. And my editor, who's Steven, was in our trading room, did very little editing, you know, and I still got to pay the bill for that. But he did very little editing, and it was cool because that part came out, and most of the editing and the focus was on the chapter and questions. And I think the importance there is that, you know, when you read books, I think books tell you one method or one way. Like when you, every time you hear a story, you walk away from the chapter, you're like, this is how this person did it, so this is how I have to do it as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Like you feel like you have to kind of, if you want the success of the person that you're reading about, you kind of have to replicate.
Yes.
And like what their way is, it's, you know, their way or the highway.
Exactly. And the thing with that is that way might not work for you. And it, in fact, it probably won't, because it's not your way. So what I did in the chapter is, rather than give you like, here's what worked for me, now go ahead and do it, I put questions together or processes, exercises that would allow you to think about what would it work for you? Like, what would I have to do to design to so it works in my life? Rather than adapting to somebody else's method, how do I make this about me and create my own journey as the reader? And, you know, chapter and exercises were all geared towards that. So I'm really happy it had that effect. You know, all the changes and most of the time was actually spent there.
Awesome. So that's really cool to hear. We've gone through the challenges, you know, through the significance of the title, behind some of your inspirations behind writing the book. So let's get into a little bit more of the fun part here. What would you say was one thing that really surprised you? What was one of the things that was the most surprising to you in creating this book?
That's a really good question. Like what the biggest surprise was?
Yeah, right. Because this is your first book, right? So
right.
I'm sure, you know, the story is one part, but, you know, putting the book together is not just putting the story together, right? So what would you say kind of surprised you or kind of caught you off guard in the whole process of putting this together?
So my surprise might actually be very surprising to everyone else. This is kind of interesting because I was actually surprised by how easy it was to do this book. It might sound odd, but I think I've always wanted to write something and people want to write, but I was surprised by how easy it was to put that book together when it started to flow. You know, I've been putting it off for a long time, and I think that it happened at the right time. This was the perfect time for it to happen, but that was a big surprise, is that in today's age, it's so easy to actually do this stuff. You just write the manuscript, you get somebody to help you edit it, they'll create a cover for you, and the book is out. So like, there really isn't as many challenges. You could self-publish. That was one of the hardest parts of putting a book out before is finding a publisher to get behind you. All right, I turned down Penguin and a lot of the other big houses.
It's true, I saw the emails.
That never happened, but hey, you know, for the next book, maybe. The other thing is how difficult the actual journey was in retrospect. So, you know, putting the book together was easy, but the hard part, honestly, was like reliving the journey.
Yeah.
It was hard to go there because it takes you into the emotionality, and it's almost like you're on chapter 20 and now you go back to chapter 1. And to tell the story, you got to re-experience chapter 1. You go through the whole thing again. That part was difficult, having to relive some of those moments. But the fun part was you got to relive the good moments too, right?
So, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, yeah. There, you know, once you guys read through the book, you guys will see that there's obviously parts where there's great successes.
Yeah.
And then there's, I don't want to call them failures, but there's, you know, there's darker parts, if you will, you know, at some parts of the story. And I can only imagine, you know, being where you are now to have to kind of relive those individual moments, you know, at the same time, those are the moments that kind of shaped you to where you are today. So
I agree 100%. Like I'm perfectly fine with calling it a failure. It was like falling on my face a lot of times. That's why my nose is crooked. Crooked nose. But it, like, you know, when you look at the journey, it was, here's the cool part. Day by day, it felt amazing. I'm very happy and proud of what I've done. But when you look at it going back and knowing what I do now, it would have been so much harder to go through that journey.
Yeah.
That's the cool part, is that just like you said a couple of podcast episodes ago, you were saying that, look, if you're just looking for the next trade, actually that was last one on toughness mindset.
Yeah, mental toughness. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're just looking for the next trade, it becomes that much easier versus thinking about, how do I plan my whole career? It doesn't matter. It's all about the next trade. So one of the surprising things was that it was tough to relive the journey, but it was still worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that, you know, perfection is really an illusion, man. Like everybody wants to be perfect. And as I look back through the journey, I was surprised that, you know, I look for perfection in every corner. I'm always a perfectionist. I want the best thing, but I never really had it. Looking back at it, you know, at the time I thought I was doing great. Everything's perfect, but it's like, hey, I've been through some stuff and I should embrace it. And progress to me is what was important in both the journey of writing the book, the journey that I lived through to create the content for the book over 30 plus years. So, you know, there were a lot of surprises, but I will tell you guys this, anyone who's out there thinking about writing a book, just freaking do it. Like, just start. The best way to do it is to start. And that was my surprise. Once I started the book and how quickly I completed it. Like, I don't know if we talk about this at any later point. It took me 2 weeks to write the whole book. Just 2 weeks. Mind you, it was like 7 hours a day, but it was 2 weeks. And once I started writing it, I couldn't stop. So I would say if you're making this whole book writing process is like massive, it's going to be a huge process. I got to write 30 or 300 pages, design the book cover. If you make it seem that hard, it will be that hard. Just start. That was the most surprising thing to me, just like anything else in life. Just get started. The rest will figure itself out.
Yeah, I can speak to that, especially the fact that, you know, it took him 2 weeks, but he was going in, he was coming into the office with maybe like 2 hours of sleep for those 2 weeks. So, you know, you guys might not see it in the writing, but his, you know, the bags under his eyes definitely showed he was hard at work something.
I was burning the candle on both ends, man. I remember I was working here till like 6 p.m. And then when you guys would take off in the office a little bit quieter, when I went home, it's like 6 p.m. I go to bed like 2:30, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
2 weeks straight, Saturday, Sunday included. So it was, you know, the hours were still there. That's the way I work. I just do it all in one session. That's why I stay in flow.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of brings me to the next point. The fact that, you know, that work ethic kind of shows your hustle. And, you know, once you guys go ahead and read through the book, you guys will also see that, you know, George has always had a sense of hustle, even from his younger years. He's got a lot of interesting stories, a couple of funny ones. And, you know, what would you say, or how would you say that, you know, your sense of hustle from you know, being young, how has that impacted your trading?
Oh man. You know, hustle is everything, you know, especially in this business. Like, we're hustling as traders. You know, it's, if you re-listen to episode 8, the mindset of being tough, you know, the hustle is all of it. You got to put the effort, energy in. And I think as a trader, you're somebody who's choosing a career of being self-directed. You're going to make everything happen. I naturally had hustle. You know, as a kid, I was like an inquisitive kid. You know, my name is George, so I used to get teased with about Curious George. It was true. I was like, you know, great. It's a fun song. I am curious, and my name is George, so it didn't really offend me much. But I was always a troublemaker when I was young because I, you know, I would go out of class. I'd skip classes. I would look for something. I was always looking to do something else to be stimulated outside of that regular environment. And I remember even as a kid, my parents would give me toys. I'd take them apart the same day they'd give it to me for Christmas. Like, here's a nice little fire truck. And like 30 minutes later, they turn their back. It's all over the ground in pieces. God bless their heart for continuing to give me gifts when that's what I did with them. But like, I was always that kind of kid. And when my family moved to Canada, you know, we literally had nothing. I really kind of credit my parents for their sacrifice, because without that, they, I don't know where this would have been. You know, I honestly don't know. I don't even want to think about it, to be honest with you. But when they immigrated to Canada, they really had nothing, man. They came from a new country. They had no friends, literally no, like, I didn't have a single relative here, not a friend. I was learning the language from, yeah, like, brand new. You know, the first two words I learned that I used in school got me suspended. One of them started with an F.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and it rhymes with duck.
Yeah, exactly. New environment. You know what I mean? New language, new school, no friends. My parents were working really hard and struggling to get jobs in their fields that they've been trained on, spent a lot of time. It's a whole like, hey, you need experience. But how do you get experience if no one gives you a job without the experience? And so that part I kind of talk about in the book. But I think that, you know, with all those new things, you kind of have to hustle.
Yeah.
Like, if you just became dormant and just sat there and waited for things to happen, that, you know, nothing would have taken place. And I think hustle is, to me, was something I learned through necessity. I kind of had to hustle if I wanted to create the things that I was going for.
Yeah.
You know, and more so to that, I think that when in today's society, we've sort of created safety nets, you know, like kids getting participation prizes. Like,
yeah, I have my own opinions on that.
Yeah, like you shouldn't be getting a participation prize. You're getting a prize for success, for progress, you know. And guess what? If you don't make the progress, that's a motivator. And we've made things too safe, too comfortable. And I think without stress, without motivation, how are you going to get growth? And so I think hustle to me is something that I developed because I had to. I've always been curious. I've always known that I wanted to pave my own path. And not, you know, there's people who say, I want to work for myself. Why? Because I don't want to work for anyone else. I just always thought, like, for me, creating was the biggest joy in the world from day one.
Yeah.
And so there aren't really many opportunities for you to create something for someone else. You know
what
I mean?
That's true.
So to me, like, the hustle was real. It started at a very young age. It started as necessity. Then I embraced it. I love the hustle. And you know, and one of the biggest motivators for me to continue to hustle was I just always wanted to do better for my family. I feel like my parents coming to Canada from Bulgaria, leaving behind. Think about this. They were actually about our age, Mark.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my parents came down too. I think my dad was 21, something around there.
Wow.
Or 18. My mom was 21, vice versa, one of the others. Fortunately, I wasn't born at the time, so I didn't have to make the...
I can't imagine a world without you. That's...
Hey, thanks, man.
Not a world I want to live in.
Well, like I was saying, you know, I didn't have really the same experience as George because he was already on this world.
Yeah, I was 7 years old when we immigrated. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, right? So we have a bit of a different, you know, growing up experience because, you know, I was obviously born here. You know, English wasn't my first language, but growing up here was a little bit easier. So I still respect the hustle of our parents. You know, it's hard to fathom what they did. That's for sure. Just, you know,
yeah.
Especially because they came to a country where, first, they don't have any assets or anything like that.
Yeah.
And number two, they can't speak the language.
That's the hardest part.
That's the hardest part.
Right? It's like everyone wants a fresh start, but that's like one heck of a fresh start. And I think that's the part that I appreciate the most. It's like, not only are you putting yourself in an environment where you don't know the language, it's a whole different culture, but But at the same time, you have kids you're responsible for.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Your success is necessary to feed those kids. Like, that's an insane amount of pressure. So it's like, for anyone listening to this, children of immigrant families or immigrants themselves that have been exposed, like, kudos to you guys. Like, you have no understanding, especially with parents. I think parents don't get a lot of credit. I know that I go see my parents. I try to every second week at the most. And, you know, we have these, like, lighthearted discussions. Everything's cool. But I don't think I've ever really told them how grateful I am for that. So I think this book is something I can give them and be like, here you go. Like, this is, you know, you guys, I know they're proud of me, but we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
As much. And I, you know, writing this book was also a way of thanking them. And that's really what started the hustle. Like, without that, I don't really know if I'd be this passionate. And I even feel like to this day, I've been running this race that I created for myself early on. And I feel like I've been sprinting the whole race. And like halfway through the race, I looked back and nobody was even close. And I'm still sprinting. And I feel like at this point in my life, I've crossed the finish line. I'm like, it's a 100-meter dash. I'm like 7 kilometers further than the finish line. I'm still sprinting,
and he's
bro.
Still sprinting.
I don't know what it is, but God, I hope that never stops.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. So you guys, I hope you're learning a little bit about Georgian here and really about the book. I think this thing is really, really an awesome read, and I highly encourage everyone to check it out. We're going to be wrapping this guy up shortly. We've got a couple more questions for George. This next question is going to be more so about the, you know, the fun parts about writing this book. Kind of want to get an idea, Georgie, of, you know, what was your main highlight of writing this book?
The main highlight of the book, this was a very powerful one, Mark. This is one of the, like, this made it worth all the countless hours. So I really got to experience, you know, telling the story. I started out with the goal to tell the story of myself. But what I realized is it's not a story about myself. It's a story about everyone else that was there for me. Like, parents, friends, every single person that, like, was in my life has a part in it. You know, no matter how small my success was or how big it becomes, that doesn't matter. All that matters is, like, I was so grateful for the things that I had. Because without those things, you know, I'm nobody without the things around me and the people around me. You know, it's just, you're just a brain and a skull. But what I really got a chance to do is re-experience everyone's contribution on my life, the magnitude of it, and to re-experience the gratuity. I was walking around with a smile while I was writing this thing because I was really grateful for everything. And so reliving your journey for the purpose of writing a book helps you think about the people who have helped you get there and really spread the gratitude for that. So that was one of the biggest thing, reliving those moments. You know, witnessing the progress that I had made personally was amazing. I realized that some of the goals I used to write down, like, even back in the day, I was always very goal focused as a young kid. Realizing that I annihilated some of those goals makes me feel good, but none of that would be possible without the people in my life. So that gratuity that I got, the sense of thankfulness, that, you know, I'm really blessed at the end of the day for the people that are around me. Without you guys, I'd have nothing. And that includes you driving in the car, going to work, listening to this podcast. You, Mark, you know, you're a big part of my life. I spend more time with you than my wife. That's going to sound...
That's actually true. And wives, when you hear this...
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, I don't have very many friends these days. You know, life's gotten busy. Everyone kind of has kids, does their own thing. And you guys are like, you know, it's awesome. I'm grateful for you, Mark.
It's a family. I'm grateful to be here. And I'm grateful for you too, Georgie.
Love.
Awesome. So, we've gone pretty comprehensive here. And I think as we're going to be signing off, we're going to see if Georgie can maybe spill a secret or two from the book that he can maybe share with our listeners.
Oh, I like how you save this one for last. What is the big secret that I have to tell you guys? Well, I'll tell you this. There is no secret. No, the secret is this. The secret is in the last chapter of the book. Goodbye, guys. Thanks for having me. No. You know, I've learned one thing. There's a lot of things I've learned, but one thing has really helped me stay afloat. There's been a lot of moments where I could have called it quits. Now, actually, I don't think I've ever told this story to anyone, but I remember, funny, I was talking about gratuity and parents. Look who's calling me. My mom. Hi, Mom. I'll call you in a bit. So, you know, I think I could have failed at a lot of different stages, and I did. I just bounced back. I think the real big secret is that success is a mindset. Success can be learned.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a... It's not something that you could purchase or you could download or you could find over a second. But what you can do is decide that success is for you. Success is something you could learn and develop and work on and improve. And you constantly do have to. So in chapter 7 of the book, I explain why that's the case. And I even lay out a 9-day action plan that could change your life, because it did for me. And to me, you know, it's all about mindset. The way that you think, the way that you've wired yourself is how you're going to perform. But the good news is that you could change that. There's very actionable steps. You know, you could change behaviors, environments, identity ultimately is the largest thing. But with those changes on that success mindset chapter, and this podcast dug into a lot of what I cover in the book, I extend on it a little bit more there. But the secret is this: whatever you have in life, you've created. And with a success mindset, you could create whatever you want. And I really lay out those steps in chapter 7 of the book.
Awesome. Yeah, I think one of the things you just mentioned there with regards to mindset, and you know, you just mentioned that there was a lot of points in your life where you failed, and you could have taken it as such. And I think that's the biggest lesson to be had of all is, and this kind of goes back to what we spoke in the last episode, is that, you know, failure, there is no such thing as failure. There's only feedback. And for the people with success mindsets, that's kind of the way that they're wired. They never see failure as, oh man, I'm not good at something, or man, I should quit this right now.
Exactly.
They always see it as feedback, as lessons to be learned and in order to, you know, progress and to grow. So I think you guys should, you know, take that, and it's a very, very important secret. You know, a lot of people will talk about mindset, but a lot of what you will see in this book digs a lot deeper into why that success mindset is so important, you know, into getting to where you want to be.
Hey, isn't there a saying, failure or failing forward?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that a saying? So like that just rung to me, because I think that it's important. In today's culture, we embrace failure. You see a lot of tech firms support failure. But I remember that back in the day, like even going back like 8-9 years ago when I was starting the journey, I mean, that's halfway through the journey, but even back then, I remember that failure was like a reflection. Like, if you fail, what an embarrassment you are to your family. You know, I'm so happy that's changed, because dealing through that was the hardest part, is like wondering about what people are going to think. And when you kind of shed that and you say, forget what people think, they're going to think whatever they want anyways. And what they think is a reflection of them. What is there to fail at? There really isn't failure anymore. You're just trying, having fun, learning, taking the information, going forward. If people were afraid of failure, nothing good would ever exist. You know, this car you're driving would be the Flintstones, one of those cars you got to run with.
The Flintstones, you know, the phone you're probably listening to this podcast on wouldn't have been created.
Yeah, it would be a dial-up, one of those rotary phones.
There wouldn't have even been electricity.
We'd probably be fencing with sticks and like warming ourselves at campfires if everyone was afraid of failure. So just by virtue of having a good lifestyle full of conveniences and safety, I think tells you that you shouldn't be afraid of failure, because somebody took that risk, and it could be you as well. There is no failure, only feedback. You know, as you read my story, hopefully that's the biggest thing you'll take away from it.
Awesome. So there you go, guys. We got Georgie to spill some of the secrets, and we also got a little bit more insight with regards to, you know, the man, the myth, the legend behind TradePro. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. We really enjoyed recording it. You know, I'm learning new things about George every day, and he's just such a great person.
Thank you, brother. Deep well of mystery.
Exactly. A deep well of mystery. And you know what? I read the first one, really, really excited about it. And I can't wait to see, you know, versions 2, versions 3, as the journey progresses. It's going to be really, really exciting. So thank you guys for tuning in today. If you guys enjoy, you know, what we're doing on here, we try to work really hard and give you guys some really good content. If you guys can do us a big favor, make sure to jump on iTunes and go ahead and rate and review the podcast. We'd really appreciate that, guys. And that's going to be a sign off from me.
And I'll just say, pick up the book, have a read. I priced it to be accessible because I want to tell the story. And go pick it up on Amazon. If you go to Amazon, type in Path to Profit, it'll come up. And leave a review there as well if you'd like. I hope you enjoyed the story. But I was really happy talking about this. And like Mark mentioned, we'd really appreciate a review also on the podcast. You know, some feedback. It really helps us grow the audience. And the further that we could grow, the more we could give, the more resources we have to give with. And we're all about giving. So we're just getting started. Look forward to our journey together.
Exactly. I will say this, you know, writing, like George said, writing a book, you kind of got to put yourself out there. So let's go ahead and reward George for doing that and leave some reviews, you know, on the Amazon page once you do check that out. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.